probably a couple weeks ago now. But Revelation chapter 16, if you will, Revelation chapter 16. My New Year's resolution is to not be stubborn. We're going to be brief. Pastor said 15-ish minutes. 15-ish? Okay. Revelation chapter 16. We're not going to go through the whole context. There's a lot in Revelation that if we were going to hit all the context, there would just be a lot there. But he's talking to about the different angels with the vials. I lied. Yeah, the vials, sorry. And let's start in verse number 10. And we'll start with the fifth angel. And the Bible says this, Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And again, this isn't the first thing that's happened. There's been a lot happening in the book of Revelation and through the tribulation period. But look at verse 11. And blasphemed God, the God of heaven. They gnawed on their tongues for pain, verse 10, verse 11, and blasphemed or reviled or cursed or what have you, blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. What an interesting thought that they're going through the tribulation period. Take your Bibles and turn back just a couple of chapters to chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. They're going through this tribulation period and they know. They're not ignorant to who's in charge. They're not ignorant to who's in control and who's pouring out these judgments. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 16. He says, well, let's look at verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the den and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They know that everything that they're going through is because God is judging them. I don't know how all that works. I know they're going to believe a strong delusion. The Bible tells us that. They're going to believe a lie. They're going to be sealed if they've heard the gospel. If you've heard the gospel here today, and I know that you have, and you refuse the gospel, and the trumpet sounds, and the rapture happens, and the tribulation starts, you're sealed. I don't like to believe that, but it's what the Bible says, that you're going to believe a lie, and you're going to go through the tribulation period, and then you're going to be sentenced to the lake of fire for eternity. That's what the Bible says, right? But these people know exactly who the judge is. They know exactly why they're being judged, and they still will not. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. They're sealed in their rebellion, their stubbornness. All right, I want to give you an example really quickly. Take your Bibles, turn back to Exodus. An example of somebody who is very, 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 very stubborn. Probably a few more berries needed. We're going to look at Pharaoh. A couple places that we could start, but we'll start in verse chapter 4 and verse 21. So you want to do a good study. This is probably one of my favorite studies. You look up hardened in the book of Exodus, especially this first part while God's talking to Pharaoh through Moses, and he's talking about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. Fantastic study, and that's what we're briefly going to go through today. I'm not going to have time to expound upon it fully, but if you look at it, what we're going to do is just give a basic idea of a man who refused to go inside. The door's right there. All it takes is for us to say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And I won't do it. You're not going to change my mind no matter what. And forgive me, college and career, I believe I told this story in your class, so it'll be a repeat. But there was a man walking down the street. He was probably playing Pokemon Go. I have no idea, but he wasn't paying attention. He was busy getting Charizard or whomever. I don't even know. And he falls into a sewer drain. The manhole cover was off for whatever reason, and he fell into the sewer drain. Well, my bad, I should have known that that was there, right? So he gets out and goes on his way. Next day, he's doing the same thing, Pokemon Go, getting another Pokemon, whatever it is, and forgets again that the manhole cover's off, doesn't see it, it's not paying attention, and falls in again. Gets out, I should have known. Third day, same thing, he's busy doing whatever, not paying attention. Same thing, the hole hasn't been covered up, and bloop, right in, again. It's like, one of these days I'm going to learn. Well, he's doing it again the fourth day, and whose kid is that, really? Thank you. There are wonderful blessings of the Lord when they're asleep. Just kidding. He's walking down the street again, doing whatever. This time he puts his phone down for just a second, sees that the manhole cover's off, just jumps in. Right? Because we get so stuck in our ways, even if it's not right, that we're just used to our sin, we're used to our bad habits, we're used to the things that we do. So let's just do it. And all I want for my New Year's, I almost said all I want for Christmas, but what I want for my New Year's resolution is to not be so stubborn. I want to be steadfast for the Lord, the things that we heard today, but man, I could be stubborn. We could probably all relate to that. And there's people that are going to go through the worst judgment ever known to mankind, and they're not going to bend their hearts. They're not going to bend their will. They're not going to put away their pride. They'd rather go through the judgment and just blaspheme God. Well, in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 21, the Bible says this. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Now, there's three words used for harden throughout this series of chapters. One of them has the idea to make courageous. I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to give him the ability to do whatever he wants to do. Whatever's in his heart to do it, that's what he's going to do. If it's to serve the Lord, he's going to serve the Lord. If it's to repent, he's going to repent. If it's to harden his heart and become callous towards me and rebel against me, then I'm going to give him the ability and the power to do that. And that's what we find here in this verse. The one that Pharaoh likes to use, or when it's talking about Pharaoh, is a different one. It has the idea of being dull or burdened, hard-hearted or callous. And it's used quite a few times, Pharaoh, talking about Pharaoh and how he hardens his own heart. There's one other that's only used one time. Look at verse chapter 7 and verse 3. Chapter 7 and verse 3. And this is the only time you find this word. It's interesting here. I'm going to give you a pattern of how things really go down here in the book of Exodus with Pharaoh and his hard heart. But chapter 7 and verse 3 says this, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And there what God's saying is, I'm going to make it so that he is hard-hearted, he is stiff-necked, and he is bitterly callous against me. I'm going to make it so that he's going to rebel against me. Right? God said he's going to do that to him. Now, how is that fair? Let's just talk about just God. Right? God's going to judge Pharaoh for doing what he made him to do, right? No. God gave Pharaoh so many opportunities and so many chances to repent and to just come to him and say, okay, Lord. And he did, but not with a full heart. How many times did we don't have time to look at it. Did Pharaoh say, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I'll let your people go. Just tell the Lord to take away the flies and to take away the frogs and all that nonsense, right? And several times. But what would happen was God told Moses to go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh would harden his heart. And the idea there is stiff-necked. And I remember being a kid. Pharaoh would become stiff-necked. And my dad would talk to me and he would put his hand around my neck. And what is the reaction? Am I the only one who ever did it? You're not going to get me to go where you want me to go. My heart is hard. My heart
is not with you, and I'm not listening to you. I may have to do it because you're my dad and you're older than me and bigger than me and stronger than me. But in the inside, we're fighting right now. Right? Is that true? That's stiff-necked. Right? That was Pharaoh. Pharaoh made his heart hard, dull, burdened towards God. I'm not going to serve him. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you the courage to continue doing that. And then Pharaoh, something would happen, and Pharaoh would harden his heart, and he was dull and burdened and callous and hard-hearted towards God. And God would say, okay, sure, I'm going to let you do that, until God said, you're done. And if you look at chapter 10, and again, I encourage you, just look up in your Strong's Concordance, your Bible app, whatever, just look up hardened heart, whatever, any of those terms, and you'll see that there's a pattern. And it's actually a really interesting story about how Pharaoh was given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and every single time he rebelled in his heart against God, and God said, okay, if that's what you want to do. In chapter 10, no more Pharaoh, though. In chapter 10, and the Lord said in verse 1 unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. And then verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not let them go. And then in verse 10 of chapter 11, and Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And I'm saying to us today, God gives us space. God's telling us, don't be stubborn. Don't be rebellious. Don't deny the Spirit of the Lord when the Lord's trying to talk to you and the Lord's trying to speak to you and the Lord's trying to direct you and the Lord's trying to send you and guide you, and you keep saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And no, really, not right now. And you're hardening your heart, and I harden my heart, and God gives us space, and God gives us a little bit of grace. And there comes a time when God says, that's it. You're just going to do your own thing, and you're going to go your own way, and you're going to reap the rewards of your decisions. And all I want for my New Year's resolution is to not be so stubborn anymore. I want to be steadfast for the Lord, but I don't want to be stubborn. You look at those people in the book of Revelation, they knew it was God speaking to them. They knew they were being judged by God, and they refused to acknowledge their sin. And how many times do we do that? How many times do we know that it's the Lord speaking to us, the Lord's trying to direct us? Nope, not going to do it. And so a couple questions, I'll be done. Do you still hear God's voice? Now, if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, if we're saved, praise the Lord for that truth. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. But do you still hear his voice when you do wrong? I'd say if you're saying, if I'm doing wrong, I really don't feel any guilt, or I don't feel anything wrong at all, I don't hear God's correction at all, I'd say danger. There was a guy on a TV show, danger, 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 right? Anyways. And then he died from danger, 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 because he kept doing it. Dummy. But if you don't hear God's voice, I'd say there's probably one or two things really, really wrong. Either one, you're not his, and you don't have the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You're not his child, right? Or number two, you've become so stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and we've tuned God out so much. By the way, that's one of the dangers of music. We try to teach right music. Why is rock and roll and rap and all that so loud? I don't want to hear God's voice. I don't want to hear that conviction on the inside, so I'm going to turn it up so I don't have to listen to God. Right? I'm going to drown it out. That was free. But if we are his, we know we're saved, we've just gotten to the place where we're so far away from him, and we're so used to saying, by the way, I like using this illustration, right? How many of us people are offering to pay off our student debt that we haven't had forever, or ever, every single day, right? And you get those telecalls, we want to pay off your student debt. And they don't really want, yeah. How easy is it for us to look at that number and say, I don't know you, click, end. I'm not even going to waste my time with you, right? It's easy because we're so used to it, right? How many of us, when we first started getting those, hello, somebody's calling me, hold on, this is great, hello, we want to pay off your student debt. Click. Now we're just like, click, 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 you got 400 in a day, click. You know, the more we turn God off, the more we say no to him, the easier it is for us to just say, click, click. I use this often, and I'll use it many more times, I'm sure, because it helps me to not just hit the end button on God when he's speaking to my heart. Now listen, if we were to go outside, Mr. Wesley made me dig a hole the other day. It wasn't so bad. Pick up a shovel with these soft, manicured hands, right? You use a shovel for the first time in years. Yeah, man work here. And you get out there and you start, and then you're like, ow, I have blisters, right? It happens. You go out there every day for a year and you don't have blisters anymore. What do you have? You have calluses. And the same thing is so true with us in our Christian walk. When God starts speaking to our heart, we're so sensitive and so aware that God's speaking to us. But the more we turn God away and the more we say no to God and the more we say, I don't have time to read my Bible today and I don't have time to spend in prayer today. And you know what, church, I want to be there, but I just have better things to do than go to church right now or watch church for those who are at home or online, whatever. And we say, end call. No, thank you. And what do? We build up that callousness towards God. That's exactly what Pharaoh did. God gave him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to say, yes, Lord. Those people in the book of Revelation, the judgment is all around them. All they have to do is turn to him. And they say, end. I can't believe God would judge us like this instead of recognizing who they are and turning to him. So have you built calluses on your heart? And I guess last, and I'll be finished, has God been speaking to your heart about something? Maybe it was last year. Maybe it's something that you want this year. But God's speaking to your heart about something. Maybe God's calling some of us, some of you, to go to Bible college. I'm too old to go to Bible college. Not if God calls you. Or maybe God's calling some of you to serve in full-time ministry. I can't change my job now and serve in full. You can if God calls you. Maybe God's calling you to do something else you haven't told anybody about. Maybe it's just to let go of a certain sin, yield it up to him. Maybe it's to spend more time with him. I don't know. I know what I want to do with the Lord this year, and I know how I want him to work in my heart this year. But maybe you have something that the Lord's been speaking to your heart about. Would you give it to him? And join me in saying, I want to be steadfast for the Lord, but I don't want to be stubborn in my sin. All right? Father, thank you for our time. And Lord, thank you for our church. And I know who I'm talking to here, for the most part, people who love you and serve you. We have amazing, wonderful servants in this church. But it's possible, Lord, for folks to come in to labor, to work, to clean, to serve, and to never really know the God of their salvation and to not be known by them. Lord, I pray if there's one here today, or maybe multiple, who've never come to Christ for forgiveness of sin. They know that you've been working on their hearts and you've been talking to them. God, would you convince them today that today is the day of salvation? They may not have tomorrow. Lord, maybe there's some of us here, we're saved. It's been a really long time since we've heard your voice. God, we just want to know that sweet sound of conviction to know you're there, Lord. Help us to yield whatever it is that's keeping our soul from the Savior. Help us to yield that to you today. And then maybe, Lord, there's something that you're speaking to us about. Nobody else may know about it. God, that we would yield it to you today. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody.